That Naturopathic Podcast. TNP.
Hello there.
Hi, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Michelle Pulbega, naturopathic doctor.
And I'm Dr. David Miller, ND, and we hear your frustrations. This show is for you.
This show is for you if you're feeling like your current healthcare strategy is not getting to the root cause or the underlying reasons for your health.
This show is for you if you've been told that you're fine, but you definitely don't feel very well.
This show is for you if you're walking out of your doctor's office with 1, 2, 3, 4, or even 5 medications without any mention of diet, lifestyle, or a long-term game plan.
This show is for you if you've got several specialists taking care of you, but no one is really putting all the pieces together.
This show is for you if you believe that health should be part of healthcare. These problems have solutions.
We know it.
Our patients know it.
And we want you to know it.
Naturopathic medicine is the solution that you should know about.
Welcome to another episode of that Naturopathic Podcast. Dr. David Miller, ND, Dr. Michelle Pulbega, ND, what's up?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good.
The sun is shining. We're past the change, and I feel like spring is on its way. However, I feel like there's some weird lingering things happening after the cold and flu season, and I'm getting some patients coming in complaining about a post-viral type of syndrome. So in spite of the spring coming in, we're still dealing with some lingering stuff from the winter. So
sorry to the Southern Hemisphere listeners. This is it's the opposite for you.
Yeah. So I wanted to just talk about something that I've had a couple of clients, I think, probably for the first time that I've ever had anyone really come in, at least that I can remember. And it's interesting that they both came in like a week apart from each other, one at each of my clinics that I work at. And basically, both in January, they both originally got sick in January with a cold, some kind of viral infection that really like held them run down for a good solid several days for my one client. My other client felt like she was at a count for a good 3 weeks. And then they both remarked that they started to feel like they were recovering for a couple of weeks before they got hit again with almost a rebound of symptoms. Neither of them were tested positive for COVID. So we could just rule that out if anyone's thinking that already. And both of them remarked that they, even from that first viral infection, they never fully recovered and they already started to experience like prolonged fatigue. And then after that second one, that kind of like upticked on them again, they've both been just completely in the tanker, mentally, just general energy, muscular capacity, like physical exertion, like they just cannot. And my one patient he's a big guy. He's a cop and he's on the tactical team. So he has to be able to carry 300 pounds, 400 pounds. And he's got 2 little kids under the age of 5. And he was like, I was winded carrying one of my kids up the stairs. He's like, that is not normal for me. So I was like, hey, mitochondria. Yeah. No rough and tumble play at this point either. So I kind of wanted to bring it to our listeners' attentions because I found that was really remarkable that I suddenly got within a week's time, 2 different people complaining the exact same thing after January viruses.
So there's the initial virus, non-specific virus. You don't really know whether it's a lack of testing or it doesn't really matter. We don't know exactly what that first, and it's a respiratory virus you're talking about?
Both of them.
Head cold, chest cold, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like a flu, dizzy, sore throat, wheezing, headache,
fever,
sinuses. I don't think nauseated. Neither of them really mentioned fever, but the gentleman said definitely viral. But
to me, it almost,
just,
I mean,
more it, just exhausted than anything.
I'd like
else.
To know, but it almost doesn't matter. It sounds like they've had like sort of non-specific infectious challenges.
That's it. Like cold and flu-like symptoms for both of them, basically.
Okay, then just to clarify, in case anyone else is wondering, because if I'm wondering, I think some other people will be wondering. The second thing that happens in both of these cases is not identical to the first thing they've experienced. Is this what you're saying? Or did you say they get the cold and flu symptoms, then they get the exact same cold and flu symptoms again?
So my one patient, the female, she said that after being sick for 3 weeks, started to get better. And then 2 weeks later, she started to feel off again. And she commented that it was almost like a relapse, breathing issues, sore throat, extreme tired, chronic headache, just like it was before. And then the guy said, one of his children came home with a virus from school and was throwing up. And his partner got really sick. And on by the weekend, he thought he was able to like go unscathed. And then all of a sudden he was just exhausted and just could not stop sleeping. So It for him, it was more the fatigue, having to sleep, that type of like shutdown for his body, and with like slight flu-like symptoms. But yeah, that was more for him. I think for both of them, it was a little bit of a resurgence of similar symptoms, but it was like weeks later.
Yeah. So I got sick in the beginning of January. And then within like, I just recovered. And within like a week after recovering, I got sick again. That was weird, but it does seem to happen.
You personally?
Yeah. That just happened a couple months or a month or two ago. And it was weird. It was like, well, I just got sick, like, and then I get sick again. So these are like kind of rebound challenges. Now, it sounds like, yeah, if I had to guess, it sounds like yours are maybe it's the same or some sort of similar pathogen sort of thing happening where they get it the second time around. Other people might just get like the fatigue and something sort of like a non-specific post-viral fatigue, post-viral brain fog, post-viral, like, so maybe, can you maybe talk a little bit about that? Cause you've probably seen that too, right? Where people are just like, they get like chronic fatigue sort of syndrome symptoms that are just, they're not necessarily the same as the first infection.
No, both of my patients said once they were past the more acute infectious stage, they were just tired.
Right.
And then there was that second flare of if whether or not it was a new infection or somehow their symptoms just kind of like re-escalated. I don't know. After that, once the acute phase, which lasted longer than their typical type of viral experiences, then again, it was just another extreme fatigue. Like my one patient was like, all he can think about is taking a nap. And he's like, in the middle of the day, he will like pass out hard. And he ended up going to his doctor and got a whole bunch of tests. And his doctor basically also just said he has post-viral syndrome.
Yeah.
That's what his even family physician said. He's like, that's what I think you have, but didn't give him much advice on what to do about it. So then he rang me up and he came to me. I hadn't seen him for a while. So I wasn't able to assess if there are any other underlying issues, but he alluded to the fact that he was actually feeling great prior to this. So there wasn't anything on his radar. And my female patient, right now she still had like lingering dryness and scratchiness in her throat and some wheezing, but more than anything, just like completely terrible energy. In the December prior, based on our previous appointments with her, we started supporting her thyroid function a little bit more. And she said December, she actually started to feel better. And then somehow this virus happened in January and she was not feeling good. So I have to take that into consideration with how I support her too, that we keep doing the thyroid support, even though she's like, I don't know if it's working. And I was like, yeah, but your body just went through the ringer with whatever this virus was. So it may actually be helping you stay afloat considering you said you started to feel better in December beforehand. But yeah, for both of them, it's just this chronic fatigue. And she was like, I look and feel exhausted and puffy. And she was like, haven't felt good since. So yeah, that's kind of what they're both talking about. And
well, my first experience of looking into post-viral conditions would be like mono Epstein-Barr, like chronic EBV. Yeah. And then I think this stuff is more, it's like a little bit more close to the mind now, just because of a lot of people having, you know, a lot more experience maybe with pandemic related post-COVID type of conditions. And this, I mean, we should be clear here. We're not talking about long COVID here. We're just talking about that long COVID probably fits into a larger category of post-viral, post-infectious challenges. some of which it sounds like are reactivations. Like that's kind of what happens with like EBV, right? It's kind of like a reactivation. Yeah. So it sounds like that one patient of yours, maybe like a kind of reactivation, maybe things kind of go, they kind of cloak themselves for a little bit while your immune system gets the upper hand. And remember, it's a game of cat and mouse, immune system and immune challenges. But then I was actually just looking at a paper at the, while we're chatting here, Michelle, and it's talking about persistent fatigue. This is from the Annals of Medicine from 2022, talking about persistent fatigue as a common symptom of long COVID with multifactorial causes. And interestingly enough, it sounds a lot of modern day naturopathic stuff. Like it says,
funny how we often get it right.
I know it's funny. So they talk about some abnormalities in the CNS, like brain hypometabolism. Like that guy is probably, he's probably just, you know, part of what he's dealing with is that the metabolism of the brain is you know, part of it. And he can't actually make the energy to a very energy demanding system. The central nervous system gobbles up a lot of our energy, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And so they said about, yeah, hypometabolism in the CNS, also muscle mitochondrial dysfunction as one of the physical dimensions of the condition as it presents in a person. And then another article suggesting dysfunctional brain lymphatic drainage, leading to cerebral spinal fluid congestion. So this is not stuff you hear every day with your MD.
No.
Right.
No.
And toxin accumulation, they even talk about in his too, like talking about toxins, the lymphatic system and mitochondrial dysfunction and multifactorial causes, including metabolism. You could be forgiven for thinking you were talking to a sort of intelligent naturopath in this article.
Yeah. I mean, something else that happened with the guy, he started having GI symptoms after. So a burning sensation. So his doctors obviously put him on a pentoprazole, but it didn't really help much. So I took that into consideration while we were doing our initial assessment, and then I gave him like GI soothe and stuff just to see if we can quell some inflammation. But because I had to with him, I gave him I wanted to be careful about how much I was giving him. He was already taking a bunch of stuff. He was already taking like vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc and whatever. So we kept those in the mix because zinc and vitamin C will further support as cofactors all the other things you have to do to support mitochondrial health. Because when he started talking about that post-exertion fatigue, like even just taking a walk with his dog, he's gassed. So I was like, okay, let's work on your mitochondria. But for him, because of the two kids, I also added in adrenal support. I gave him a mitochondrial formula, an adrenal formula, B complex, because you need those, to further support those nutrients. And we need just a nice blend of different types of antioxidants. So that's why I was like, keep the vitamin C, keep the zinc, keep the D, and we'll see how he does. And he touched base with me 2 weeks after, cause I wanted him to, and he commented that he was already noticing a difference in his energy. He's like, it's moving at a glacial pace. He's like, it's not progressing the way I'd hoped. And I had to re-explain to him that sometimes post-viral issues might take a few months to fully recover from. And he was like, I know. He's like, but this is frustrating. But in 2 weeks, by taking this more robust protocol with the GI soothe, he was saying his dog walks are no longer as exhausting as they used to. He doesn't feel... He's still tired during the day, and he would happily take a nap, but he doesn't feel like he absolutely has to. Like in the past, it was like a non-negotiable. He needed a nap and he doesn't need to take those midday naps anymore. So he was like, he's happy about that. You know, people are just impatient and he needs to go back to work because he's on a work leave right now, sick leave. So he was like, is there some way to speed this up? And I was like, probably not. You just got to nourish yourself. Oh, and then we actually implemented maybe even like a 24-hour fast once a week, just to give his body a break from digesting food and then go more into autophagy, house cleaning, all that kind of garbage, removal. And I also gave him a homeopathic for viruses, just to see, it's a complex homeopathic for things like EBV, Epstein-Barr virus, those types of viruses, to see if we can help shift some of that out of the system. So I didn't do more on the gut other than the GI soothe. And at our follow-up appointment 2 weeks later, he didn't report anything about his digestion being bad anymore. So,
well, something you just breezed over, and it's something I use like on a weekly basis, is that little nugget of wisdom from Jenny Tofenkian regarding exertional fatigue, disproportionate exertional fatigue being a really good indicator of having some mitochondrial dysfunction. And that's something that is worth repeating every time it comes up. Naturally, I like to bring it up because that's a really, that and that sensitivity to fragrances, chemicals, and things like that. When someone's two for two on those, we know it's highly likely that you have some mitochondrial dysfunction.
Yeah. I have not had a chance to have a follow-up with my other patient, the female patient, but I think I have something with her next week. So I'm curious to see how she's doing with the few suggestions I made. She was already doing certain things. So we just really added in the mitochondrial support. And I just want to see how she's doing.
But I looked up. Sorry, go on.
No, it's just weird that I had like two people within a week. Exactly.
Well, yeah, that's why we're talking about it. Yeah. That's what happens, right? I also I looked up, I just like searched neuroinflammation in this article too, and it comes up like 16 times. So that's it. There's a lot of neuroinflammation involved in a lot of these, this is about post long COVID, pardon me. This is about long COVID, specifically pathophysiology of long COVID. But like me and Michelle are saying, this is applicable to like all sort of post-infectious challenge cases where there's remaining symptoms that are similar to the initial infection, or just like they seem almost unrelated.
Right.
Neuroinflammation seems to be a big factor. That's why there's often that fatigue. That's just like, it's just, you're bagged fatigue. Absolutely bagged. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's not just about focusing on the mitochondria. I think you have to focus on the adrenal state of the person. What were they like going into this state? What are they like? You know what I mean? You have to look at their gut health. You have to look at like areas of possible inflammation, making this just worse than it needs to be. Nutrition, are they sleeping? All that kind of stuff has to be a factor. It's not just like a one-stop shop where here's just like a standard protocol and, mm-hmm. and you throw it at each person, because that's never how we do things. Mm-hmm. But
some principles being like, here's some basics. Like there's the initial challenge of whatever the infection, virus, bacteria, whatever is. So the body has to deal with that. And that has some energetic and whatever cost. And so everyone has to go through that. And sometimes you can go through that and you just beat it and your immune system's stronger and you're over it fairly quickly. That's kind of like a robust immune response, you could say. And then this is where everyone starts to change even more, is our reaction to whatever we've gone through. So there could be some like neuroimmune switch that's happened, or we've tried to cope with the stressor in such a way that helped us get over it, but then it leaves us susceptible to something else. And so now you've got the secondary stuff getting even more varied between like how it manifests in everyone.
Yeah.
And then prior to all of this happening, you've got your pre-existing conditions, right? So if you've got like COPD or like, you know, congestive heart failure, that's very different than, you know, me or Michelle running into the same virus. So, you know, you got to keep all those pre-existing conditions or pre-existing challenges or weaknesses, because we all have some in mind here, right? That's why everything doesn't fit into your cookie cutter. But there are some principles you're following there, right?
Yeah.
So can you recap sort of your principles? You had like antioxidants.
Different antioxidants, a B complex, mitochondrial formula of some sorts. There's various ones out there.
Mitochondrial is key. Yeah, I think.
Mitochondrial is key. I wanted to make sure that was in there, and I did give it at a very generous dose, like a 2 capsules twice a day of this blend that's for mitochondrial health. Thyroid support for my one patient, the other person got adrenal
individualized
support. Right. Yeah. But I think the adrenals, in addition to the mitochondrial health and the antioxidant cofactors in B complex, I think that's the key. And then obviously working on nutrition, diet, that kind of stuff. That would be the basis, and then fine tune for individual care.
Adrenals makes a lot of sense. And I'm gonna admit something. It's probably something I don't prescribe enough for, and you're just making me think a little differently, which
I feel
is
like
good.
Everyone needs an adrenal support.
I know, but that's a slippery slope too, right? Like I used to, so when I first started practicing, I was like, who doesn't need adrenal support? Yeah. Here, hi, what's your name? Adrenal support. You know, it's like, and then you kind of fall away from some things, but then as you get a little bit better understanding, I come back to it and I think, because you know those people that are really tired and wired, and they generally do well with ashwagandha, glutathione, and some other stuff that I use. But if you're in a state of like, you know those people that are so, I don't know, I see them in clinic, I'm like, I know, it's different. As you get older, you start to observe things a little bit easier, and you're like, I know that their adrenals are just like absolutely keeping them going. They're like, oh, if this is a good one, if I slow down, I'll fall asleep. So I just have to keep moving. Yeah. It's like, there's a good sign that like your adrenals are probably just going like the whole time just to keep you going. And that's not a sustainable energy source. That's just not a sustainable energy source. So you're going to, either way, you have to give the adrenals some support in those cases.
Absolutely. I feel like people will come to me, especially for like detoxing or for pathogens or whatever. And I will not touch that area of their invested interest until their adrenals are done, especially if they present to me and they're like burnt out, not sleeping, running all pistons firing, feeling like they're, you know, then I'm kind of like, okay, well, we got to do that first. Or people who are just completely exhausted. So you're kind of like, okay, is it the pathogens? Is it the whatever that's exhausting you? Or do we need to fill the tank first before we can like try to upregulate some of these functions in your body? Because how effective are we going to be at trying to supercharge your body at doing more tasks if it could barely just break even with day-to-day things? So you have to fill up the cup sometimes before you can start doing some of those other tasks. And I have to remind my patients about that sometimes. If they're coming to me exhausted, I was like, a detox is not the thing you need right now. You need to fill your cup up first.
Yeah, you need some yin and some yang sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for both of these patients, they were just like tanked. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that when I touch base with my patient next week, she is noticing some differences. Otherwise, I'm probably going to have to kick it up a notch a little bit with maybe my recommendations for her. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy that my male patient after 2 weeks was already noticing a bit of a shift. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
Yeah, cool. These are cases when there's the extreme sort of neuronal fatigue or neuroinflammation. I would now be thinking, with what I know now, I would be thinking about optimal glutathione plus by Seeking Health. I just buy their stuff. I don't make any whatever. It's just, I'm only saying that specifically because I don't know another product that does what it does. It's a very dynamic product. Have you used it?
No, I think you gave me a sample of it, didn't you?
Oh, okay.
When we were at the Burrell courses.
That's right.
I didn't notice necessarily a palpable difference for how I felt when I took it. So it might not be the right remedy for me at this stage. Yeah. But also when I was looking into things about post-viral and fatigue, exertion, all that stuff, glutathione was one of those things that was mentioned.
Yeah, but it's so funny.
I came across a video several weeks ago talking about glutathione from Dr. Anderson, Dr. A, but he was like, you can't just
give
glutathione to people who don't have their other antioxidants and cofactors in check. Otherwise you're just going to be like burning fuel and not replenishing. And there needs to be that recycling that happens of glutathione. So I think he was talking about vitamin C specifically, but there was a few other things too. So to just give someone glutathione might not actually be beneficial to them if they don't have some of those other moving parts in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think that's why Ben Lynch puts all the glutathione recycling cofactors in the glutathione pill that he makes too. He's pretty thoughtful with his design.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Those couple of superstars, those two.
Yeah, they're pretty great. Good resources to have. Thankfully, we have people like them who are deep into the research and really, you know, advocating for good products, good therapies, you know, good clinician type of work. So
yeah, and they're like biochemically really, really like, I don't know as much about Dr. Lynch. What I know about him is his biochemistry is tight. And you need a bit of that. And so that's what we lean on, guys and people like that who have that. But Dr. Anderson, I mean, he's tight on everything. He's hilarious. He's great with people. He's just too smart. He doesn't even know how smart he is, probably.
He's so great. And he also looks a little bit like Peter Griffith from Family Guy. And I kind of love it.
He's like the grandpa of the naturopaths. He's the best. So, always good to give a shout out to Dr. A.
Yeah,
check out Dr. Paul Anderson anytime. He's got tons of YouTube stuff. It's like, he's really easy. He's really easy to listen to, and he's so smart. It's really palatable and is able to sort of, if you're just like a smart person or even a practitioner, he's got the delivery for you. So,
and love so Dr. A. If anything ever of his pops up on my radar on like social media or something, I stop and I listen. Like, that's one of the few people that are like, no, let's watch this. Like, there's always going to be something I can learn from him. So I stop and I listen with Dr. Anderson for sure.
Yeah. That and capybara videos I stop for. So, that's, that's the truth. Okay. So, post-viral, when you get kicked when you're down, the post-viral sort of challenges, Michelle brought this up from some success and experience this past little while, so thanks for doing that. And it may be applicable to unnamed viruses as well, but always see someone who knows how to treat the whole person, ideally a good naturopathic doctor
or functional medicine doctor. They're pretty good too.
Okay, cool.
Thanks everyone.
All right.